a word for the new year. A word for the new year. We're going into a new year, and this is just something that is just on my heart this morning. Go with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. When I'm about to share with you the truths that I want to bring out this morning, the Lord actually gave me these truths 3 years ago on an airplane ride home to Alabama, going to see my parents. Just, I love reading my Bible on a plane. There's just something so relaxing about it. And as I opened my Bible, the Lord just brought me to this passage of Scripture, and He really began to speak to my heart as a pastor. As a pastor over a church, over a flock, the Lord just really began to speak to my heart a charge out of the Scriptures that we're going to read, a charge to my own heart, and a promise that goes with that charge. And going into the new year, the Lord has really been stirring these truths in my heart again, and I really feel from the Lord just to bring them out and share them with you this morning. Because it entails all of us, if we're truly saved, born again, walking with the Lord, this charge and these promises that go with this charge is for all of us. So I'm really asking that you would open up your heart. Don't let anything distract you. Keep your attention on the pulpit and really hear what the Lord has to say. It's a charge to all of us, and it's a promise to all of us going into the new year. Brothers and sisters, we don't know what the new year holds, but we do know who holds the future, the days ahead. And these are promises for us, a charge and a promise as the Lord's people. So let's just begin reading at verse 8, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." As we know, Luke chapter 2, the scriptures that we just read, it's the story of the birth of Christ. That this night that the shepherds are out in the field, Jesus is born in a stable in Bethlehem. Now I want you to go with me to verse 8. Look with me at verse 8 again. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock." Let's just stop there. Keeping watch over their flock. And I really want to emphasize those words. Keeping watch over their flock. When I see these five words, when I see this phrase in the scriptures, there's really one word that comes to my mind, and that's the word faithfulness. The word faithfulness. That these shepherds are in the field and they're faithful to watch over their flock. They're faithful to protect their flock. Brothers and sisters, this is at nighttime. This is the time when the wolf pack is stalking. This is the time when the mountain lion comes out of the mountains and descends into the valley regions to hunt. He doesn't hunt during the day because of the heat, but a mountain lion hunts at night. So it's a time when the lion has come from the mountain to hunt. And you see that here these shepherds are faithful to be watching over their flock, to be protecting their flock, to be guarding their flock. Now look with me at verse 8 again. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And I really want to emphasize those words, by night. By night. I want to emphasize those words very strongly. These shepherds are faithful to be awake, guarding their flock, protecting their flock in a time when so many others are given to sleep. They're faithful to watch over their flock and to guard their flock in a time when many have fallen into a place of slumber. They are faithful to be awake, doing what they should be doing. Faithful to guard that flock. And brothers and sisters, when so many are sleeping and slumbering, these shepherds are faithful to watch, to guard, to protect their sheep. And what I want us to know, brothers and sisters, is that the hour that we are living in now is very dark. And there are a lot of people sleeping. There are a lot of people slumbering in this time that we're living in. Listen, we're living in a very dark hour. Sin is running rampant in our society. In fact, gross sin, wicked sin is the normal in our society. And we are living in a day that the days that are so depraved because people now are taking gross wickedness and accepting it as something that is ethically right. Legalize abortion. Legalize gay marriage. All these things. People, there's such a depravity in the earth that we're calling what is evil good and calling what is good is evil. And we really believe that. That's the society that we live in. Very dark. Very dark. And brothers and sisters, the days are only going to get more wicked. The days are only going to get more evil. And what I am saying to us today as a church, brothers and sisters, listen, as a church and as the Lord's people, we cannot afford to fall into a place of sleep. We can't afford to fall into a place of slumber. In other words, what I'm saying is we can't afford to allow apathy and complacency to find a place in our heart. We can't allow indifference to God and the things of God to take a place in our heart. We can't allow the ungodly things of the world and begin to live a life of compromise with the ungodly things of the world. We can't afford to fall asleep. Because brothers and sisters, what's going to happen is if we do these things, if we allow compromise and apathy and indifference into our heart, what's going to happen is we will lose the glory of God. We will lose the glory of God in our life. We will lose the glory of God in our homes. And we will lose the glory of God in our church. And in the days that we're living in, as dark as they are, with so many shepherds and pastors and congregants sleeping and in a place of slumber, we can't afford to fall asleep. We will lose that glory. I was just listening the other day to Robbie Zacharias. He's a man that I really esteem highly in the Lord. And I was listening to him on the radio and he said something very powerful that struck my heart. He said, the greatest tool of evangelism is God's glory in His church. Now, brothers and sisters, as a pastor, that really struck my heart. That the greatest tool of evangelism is for the unsaved to be able to come in and encounter the very life, encounter the very presence, encounter the very power and the anointing of God in the midst of His people. What I'm saying is we can't afford to lose the glory of God. We can't afford to fall asleep. We can't afford to become apathetic. We can't afford to have compromise with the things of this world in our life. We can't afford to become indifferent towards the Lord and the things of the Lord, because if we do that, we will lose the glory of God. The Lord is looking for a faithful people. Let's ask the question. When I'm talking about being faithful to stay awake, what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is guarding that sincere love for the Lord and guarding that warmth in the heart for the Lord and guarding that tender affection for the Lord. And I'm talking about guarding that consecrated life to the Lord. Guarding that life that is set apart to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, understand, these shepherds are in the field watching over their sheep on a cold night. The night is dark and a cold chill is in the air. And they are wrapped in their cloaks, faithfully watching over their flocks. And what I want us to understand is that the Bible tells us clearly in the last days, because of the darkness of the hour, because of sin and rebelliousness of the hour, many, many people's love for the Lord will turn cold and they will leave that consecrated life. They will leave that life separated to God and godliness. Jesus, defining the last days in Matthew chapter 24 verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that word here, he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that word love in Matthew 24:12, the Greek word is agape. Brothers and sisters, that is the love that describes the love of God. That's the love that describes the love of Christ. An unsaved person cannot have this love. This is a love that only a Christian man, a Christian woman can possess. And so what Jesus is saying is simply this. Because of the exceeding sinfulness of the age, the love for Christ is going to become cold in the hearts of so many of his people. The sinfulness of the age is going to find a place in their heart and kill that sincere love for Christ in many, many hearts, many, many people sitting in his house. Beloved, listen, as a church, as the Lord's people, we have to guard that deep love for the Lord. We have to guard our affection for the Lord. We have to guard our warmth for the Lord. And we have to guard that consecrated life. That life that is separated from sin, separated from ungodliness, separated from the worldly, godless entertainment of this age. We have to guard that place of separation. We have to guard that consecrated life. Brothers and sisters, I said this before, but I want to say it again. Listen, sanctification is what God is doing in us. Consecration is what we set apart to the Lord. Listen, there are just things I will not allow in my heart, and there are things I will not allow in my home because my life is set apart to the Lord. There are things I will not allow to come into my home because I have set my home apart to the Lord. More than anything, I desire the presence of the Lord to inhabit my home. My wife and my children, where we abide, where we dwell. That's consecration. It's what we set apart to the Lord. And we have to guard that with all of our heart. Listen, what I'm about to say might sound very shallow, but yet it's very true. I believe with all my heart, what is turning the heart of Christians cold toward God and the things of God more than anything else is television. Amen. I'm going to say it. Brothers and sisters, the people on this earth are engrossed with television more than anything else in this earth. People are just engrossed with television. And I know in my heart there are many, many, many people in the house of the Lord that sit in their houses and they watch violence. They watch sexual innuendos and sensuality and they wink at it and excuse it. They listen to the profanity. And because of it, and they don't even realize it, their hearts are growing cold towards God and the things of God. They won't bring these things into their house in person. But they'll allow it to come into their homes through television. And then they wonder why their hearts are growing cold towards the Lord. They're wondering why there's no conviction. I don't feel convicted of this. They're wondering why they have no discernment. Why I can't discern. This is so grievous to the heart of God. I believe that with all my heart. I believe worldly entertainment through television is more than anything else is what is causing in this hour so many Christians' hearts to become cold towards God and the things of God. Because iniquity shall abound. The hearts of many shall wax cold. And what I'm saying with all my heart is I'm saying in this hour we live in, we have to guard with all of our heart. We have to guard that sincere, it's easy to say I love Jesus. No, we have to guard the sincerity of that love. We have to guard that place of a devotion. And we have to guard that consecrated life. Amen. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. I'm just going to say it. We wouldn't allow a man to come into our home in person and cuss in front of our wife and children. But we'll watch it on the TV. My question is, what's the difference? There is no difference. But that's not the way we see it. We wink at it and excuse it. And then we wonder why our hearts become indifferent towards the Lord and the things of God. Why there's apathy in our hearts. Why there's complacency in our hearts. I'll tell you why. Because we're sinned because in the last days, because iniquity shall abound, that agape love in the hearts of many will grow cold. And there's something else I want us to see that I see happen in the ministry. I see it happen in the ministry, and it's what I simply call routine without relationship. In our Christian walk, we learn the importance of having a heart to seek after God. In many churches, there are people that sit under godly pastors and godly shepherds. And these pastors teach the people the importance of having a life seeking the Lord, spending time with God. And because we have these godly teachers and godly preachers that teach us that, we acquire this life. We are a people that seek after the Lord. We spend time in prayer. We spend time in the Word. But I'm telling you, because I've seen it in ministry. Even though we're doing these things, in the heart of a lot of people, their heart towards the Lord just begins to turn, and their hearts aren't right. Their hearts aren't in a place where it should be with the Lord, even though we're doing these things. I know ministers. I know saints of God. They follow the routine. Daily, they pray. Daily, they read their Bible. Daily, they seek the Lord. On Sundays, they come to church and make altar calls. But yet, in all reality and truth, their heart is cold towards the Lord and the things of God because they have been compromising with the things of the world. And yet, we're reading our Bibles and we're praying and we're, you know, so-called seeking after the Lord. But yet, when all that's done, when I've spent my hour with the Lord, then we compromise with worldly things. And our hearts are cold towards the Lord. And this is the sad thing. A lot of people don't realize their hearts are cold to the Lord. Because I'm doing all these things. I am reading my Bible. I am praying. And the sad thing is, when you look at their life, there's no conviction in their life. There's no discernment in their life. And they really have no life in God. Listen, I'm speaking out of my heart and I'm really speaking in love, but I've seen it. I've seen people in ministry who are faithful to read and pray, but they have absolutely no life of God in them. And the evidence of that is I can watch worldly things, watch ungodly things, entertain myself with worldly entertainment and have no conviction about it. It's very sad to see. We have to guard that warmth, that devotion, and we have to guard that place of consecration, that life of consecration to the Lord. Again, the Bible tells us clearly that in the last days, because of the darkness, because of sin and rebelliousness of the hour, many, many people's love for the Lord is going to grow cold. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But brothers and sisters, I want to share with you now a scripture that the Lord has really been burning in my heart. I want you to go with me to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. Look at verse 12 and 13. Verse 12 and 13 says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. In these two scriptures, the Lord is talking about the law of the burnt offering. The law of the burnt offering, he's saying that the fire upon the altar in the tabernacle, he says that fire is to never go out. And that fire represents the fire of consecration. See, in Leviticus chapter 9, God himself sent fire from the heavens and set that altar on fire as Moses was in the tabernacle consecrating, setting apart the tabernacle to the Lord. So as Moses is consecrating that tabernacle, God sends the fire down upon that altar, and then he says these words, "This fire that I've set upon this altar of consecration, it shall never go out." And this is what the Lord has really been speaking to my heart. As I've been looking at these scriptures, the Lord has really been speaking to my heart. And that's simply this. Tim, that love in your heart for God, it doesn't have to go out. Tim, that devotion, that affection, that warmth that you have in your heart for God, it doesn't have to go out. In the last days, in the age when so many people's hearts are growing cold in my house because iniquity and compromise, Tim, your love, your warmth, your affection for God doesn't have to burn out. You don't have to be in that number. When there's so much apathy and complacency and compromise sitting in my pews, Tim, I'm telling you, you don't have to be a part of that number. You can keep that love in your heart burning. You can keep that consecrated life burning. When others are playing with the world and dabbling with the world and entertaining themselves with worldly things that grieve my heart, you don't have to be in that number. You can have that hunger and thirst for righteousness burning in your heart. You don't have to be a part of that number. So the Lord spoke this to me, and it was so real in my heart. My heart was set on fire. So a cry came out of my heart, and I said, God, how do I keep that fire burning? God, it's not in my own strength. It's not in my own flesh. It's not in my own self. How can I keep this fire burning? When people are growing cold, hearts that were once aflame to you, many, many hearts are growing cold because of the iniquity of the age. God, how do I keep my heart aflame for you? How do I keep my heart stirred with that thirst for righteousness? And the Lord spoke a scripture to me. Hebrews chapter 4:16, the Lord says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the Lord said, Tim, live at my throne. If you will live at my throne, your fire will never go out. Tim, I love you with all of my heart, and everything that you have need of, I am so ready and so freely willing to give it to you if you'll stay at my throne. Tim, in time of struggle, come to my throne because I have strength for you. Tim, in time of discouragement, when you're discouraged, come to my throne because I have comfort and encouragement for you. Tim, when something is beginning to slip into your heart, Tim, come to my throne because I have enlightenment for you. Tim, if you will live at my throne, stay at my throne, you'll find all the divine help, all the strength, all the grace, all the fire, all the life that you need at my throne. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, your fire doesn't have to go out. When so many hearts are growing cold because they're dabbling with the iniquity of the world, I'm telling you, you don't have to be a part of that number. We can keep our hearts afire for God. We can keep a thirst of righteousness in our hearts. We can keep our heart, our home, and our church consecrated to the Lord in a time of such darkness. It doesn't have to go out. Amen. So let's ask a question. When so many in the Lord's house are becoming carnal and cold, and I don't say that condescendingly, I just say it with the authority of the Spirit of the Lord. This is the Lord's word. When the hearts are in this day we're living in becoming so carnal and cold, and they don't even realize it, what should the saints of the Lord be doing? What should we be doing? I want you to go with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. It's only one chapter in Jude, right before Revelation. And we're going to start at verse 17 and read through verse 19. Verse 17 says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own godly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. So in verse 17 through 19, Jude is describing the last days. No fear of God. A society totally given over to immorality and sensualism, lasciviousness. But then in verse 20, through the following, he really begins to tell the saints of the Lord what they should be doing in the last days. He says, verse 20, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So he's saying in the last days that you're living in, facing everything that you're facing in the hour and in the age and in the society you're living in, what God's people should be doing is building up themselves in their most holy faith. Now to me, that speaks of two things. First of all, it speaks to me of this. Our relationship with God and growing in the Lord should be the most important thing to our hearts. More than everything else, growing in the Lord should be the most important thing to our hearts. Why? Because brothers and sisters, if you're not growing, you're spiritually dying. There is no middle ground. So the most important thing to our lives should be my relationship with Christ and growing in the Lord. And he says, building up yourselves. So secondly, that speaks to me of initiative. What he's saying is, it's up to the Lord's people to take the initiative to grow in their relationship in the Lord. It's up to the Lord's people to take the initiative to have a daily life of prayer. To take the initiative to have a daily life spending time with the Lord in His Word. It's up to the Lord's people to walk in the grace of God that is given to them and to have a life seeking after the Lord. Not allowing the flesh to dominate your heart, but allowing the Holy Spirit to dominate your flesh. I'm telling you something. Your flesh doesn't always feel like praying and reading the Bible. If you follow the dictates of your flesh, what you will be doing is spending your nights and weekends on the couch with popcorn in your mouth watching movies from Blockbuster. Amen. And that's where a lot of believers are at. Nothing wrong with watching godly things. But I'm saying the Bible says, it says it's the Lord's people, you have to walk in the Spirit. You have the power within you to live a seeking life. To have a life of prayer, to have a life in the Word of God. To live that Hebrews 6, I am a rewarder to those that diligently seek me. So he says, in the last days, more than anything else, what you should be doing is building yourself up in your most holy faith. In the age that you're facing. And then he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, praying in the Holy Ghost. Are we talking about praying in tongues? Well, I believe that's a part of it. Paul says in Corinthians, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That word edify means to build up. So I believe that's part of it. But even more so, I believe what Paul is saying is the Lord's people should be so full of the Spirit of God that the Holy Spirit is the very life of their prayers, the very inspiration of their prayers, the very unction and power of their prayers. Spirit-led prayers are Spirit-answered prayers. So you're so full of the Spirit because you're walking in obedience to the Lord. You're guarding that relationship with God. So whether you're praying in an unknown tongue or praying with understanding, the Holy Ghost is the very life and strength and power of your prayers. But here's the point that I want to make. I really believe that's what he's saying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost should fill you and he should be the very strength and life of your prayers. But here's the point I want to make. The Holy Spirit will not fill an unclean vessel. He will not fill a carnal vessel. If we're going to be that people filled with the Spirit, we have to love God and keep that consecrated life to the Lord. Amen. Balaam lost the Spirit of God because he allowed covetousness to take his heart. Saul lost the Spirit of God because he allowed the pride to take his heart and he wouldn't humble himself. Samson lost the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, because he allowed the sensuality of the hour and the pleasure of the flesh to have his heart. Amen. And then he says in verse 21, he says, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Brothers and sisters, keeping yourself in the love of God is more than a mental assent. It's more than saying, I'm just going to keep it in my remembrance that God loves me and I love God. But that's not what keeping yourself in the love of God means. It means keeping yourself in the favor of God and in the strength of God and in the blessing of God, because you're keeping your heart set apart to God. It's not talking about love in general. It's talking about that relational love. It's talking about keeping yourself in that relationship, that relationship with love, that relational love with God, by maintaining that life of intimacy and obedience and separation. Peter says it best. He says, seeing that these things are going to come onto the earth, what manner of godly conversation, what manner of people should we be? What manner of godly conversation should we be living? If God is coming to judge sin, why are we playing with the very sin He's coming to judge? I'm not talking about legalism. There's a lot of legalistic people that I'm talking about. They keep a standard, but their hearts are cold towards God. No, I'm talking about the opposite. I'm talking about loving the Lord so much that we live that separated life. That's what I'm talking about. And you can always tell people who have standards, those that are legal, from those in legalism, from those that are really walking in intimacy with God. You can tell it by joy. Hebrews 1:9 says, I love righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God has anointed me with the oil of what? Joy. I'm telling you, people that love Jesus and keep a holy standard, they are some of the most joyful people upon the face of the earth, because the presence of Christ dwells in them so richly. You can always tell those who have the true joy of the Lord from those that are just legalistic. Because those that keep high standards, but it's just out of legalism, there's no joy in their life. Very hard, very critical, no compassion, no mercy. But when you keep godly standards because you simply love Jesus, I'm telling you, there is a real joy in the heart. Amen. I want to end with this question. As a church and congregation, if we are faithful to stay awake, to protect our love and devotion to the Lord, to protect our life of consecration, what will we see in our church, in this church, or in any church that truly loves the Lord and they're guarding that life of intimacy and consecration? What will that church see when it's so surrounded by darkness? Go with me back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're going to end on this, but look, here's the promise. What a wonderful promise. Let's just start with verse 8 and read through verse 11. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So let me ask this question. What just happened here? What just happened here? Let me tell you what just happened here. These shepherds, faithful to watch their sheep, on a cold, dark night, were suddenly consumed by the glory of the gospel. That as they're sitting there on this cold, dark night watching these sheep, suddenly the glory of God is revealed. They're consumed by the glory of God. The glory of God is shining all around them as the angels are beginning to unfold God's salvation plan. In other words, the darkness and the cold was suddenly consumed by the glory of God as the gospel message is being revealed. And brothers and sisters, that's the promise. The promise is simply this, that if we will just be faithful to guard that intimacy with God and to guard that consecrated life, not falling into that number where many are becoming cold toward the Lord because iniquity, they're allowing the iniquity of the age to have a place in their heart. No. When we guard that love and that consecrated life, brothers and sisters, we are going to see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ fill this church. We're going to see people come in and get saved. We're going to see them miraculously transformed. We're going to see marriages that are on the rocks miraculously healed. We're going to see lives changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how dark the world is on the outside. The glory of Jesus Christ will consume the darkness. And the gospel message will go forth with great power. That's the promise. The charge is, my people have to walk in my grace, not in their strength, in my grace, and guard their heart, guard their intimacy, guard that consecrated life. And the people that will do that, they will see the glory of the gospel in their life, in their heart, in their home, and in their church. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. The darker the world, the darker the society, the greater the glory of God. But brothers and sisters, we have to live the charge. What do we allow in our heart? What do we allow in our home? What magazines do we bring into our house? And excuse the little pictures here and there that are so sensual. Amen. Pastor Tim, that sounds like old-fashioned preaching. We need that more than anything. I know we're New Covenant. But New Covenant Christians have a responsibility. And that's to walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And you will not tolerate the ungodliness of the flesh in your home. Why? Because my house is set apart to the Lord. Stand with me.